Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Oh, it's going to be a busy night. I'm giving this week an 8 out of 10 on the waiverometer. I think it's a really good waiver wire week. I'm excited to talk about these players' big-time priorities. Plus, we'll recap a very fun Monday night football game, surprisingly. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard. Jamie, do you share my... You're always optimistic about the waiver wire. You must be feeling it this week.
I like it. You know, there's no, oh my God, this is the best player ever in fantasy to add. But there are some very good starting options, not just for this week, but for some long-term play. So
yeah,
it's a fun week on the waiver wire. It's not a break your bank week on the waiver wire, but it's a fun week on the waiver wire.
It's not.
There's a guy that's gonna be the greatest player ever in fantasy on the waiver wire because we're gonna lose the greatest guy to ever play fantasy.
Oh, yeah. There's that. But we
stupid,
you know,
shoulder.
We have Duke Johnson.
Yay!
Not feeling that. I mean,
well, there's no guarantee that the starters in the running back situations are going to be out. That's the problem.
Okay, Rex Burkhead maybe, and I think the long term players are kind of why I think this is a unique week. Unique week. Unique New York. Deebo Samuel, Austin Hooper, maybe Dallas Goedert.
Well, I was going to say the tight ends. You know, that's why I kind of gave a little hesitation on saying that there's no break your bank type of guys, because there's those two tight ends could be startable. The problem is we don't know how long Zach Ertz is out, which puts a little bit of a cap on Goddard. But Hooper's got a chance. You know, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. So we'll get to the top priorities. On bye this week.
Great week for DST streamers. Great week.
Atlanta, Dallas, Kansas City, and the Jets are on bye this week. So there's that. All right. You know what? Let's just throw out some names. Let's rock and roll. Dave, give me your top waiver wire priorities.
I think Duke Johnson's probably still going to be at the top of the list among running backs. We don't know for sure if David Johnson's going to be out, but man, if you saw the play, David Johnson was just laid out. So I don't know what his chances are of being able to play, and Duke Johnson would be the workhorse for Houston. So I don't mind that. I'm looking at the receivers too. Jacoby Myers, if he's going to continue to see his targets go up week after week after week, like we've seen, maybe he is a guy that could be someone that helps you win your PPR league. Curtis Samuel would be another one. Tim Patrick, a third.
You just wonder why Julian Edelman couldn't do this, right?
Well, I think that's the problem for Myers is that, yeah, you know, him and Richie James are going to cost people some fab points, fab budget, because you can't trust Myers in week 10 against the Ravens. And
why not?
Nikhil Harry may play because he's dealing with a concussion. So that's going to be another factor to consider. And then Edelman will come back. But Myers has been great. I mean, the targets have been fantastic. There's a clear rapport with Cam Newton. And so he's absolutely worth adding if you can, but don't go crazy with him. And the same thing with Richie James. You know, people are going to look at what he did last Thursday, but there was nobody there for the 49ers, and they're getting their guys back. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk is going to play, and there's a chance Deebo Samuel plays as well. So I love the upside of Jacoby Myers, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a trap because of what's coming up and what's returning for the Patriots.
So for Myers, he's 20% rostered. He just had 12 catches for 169 yards on 14 targets at the Jets. He's got Baltimore this week, and I'm looking at his first two games, his previous two games, maybe as a, I wonder what you guys think about this, a better estimate of what you might get from Myers this week. That would be 4 catches for 60 yards against San Francisco, 6 catches for 58 yards against Buffalo. So that, you know, that's 10 to 12 PPR points.
Yep,
right?
That's the game. Yeah, that's what you're hoping for against Baltimore. They get Houston after that, which is clearly a great matchup. So you'd like to see Nikhil Harry and Julian Edelman be out for those two games. But, you know, if he's in this shared situation. You know, I mean, look, Cam is obviously working his way through. They made this, you know, comment on the broadcast that he's still not trusting his protection. You know, he's dealt with just a lot of different moving parts. He's been in and out of the lineup. He threw the ball really well last night for what he's been doing. You know, a lot of the short underneath routes, he hasn't, you know, necessarily challenged downfield, but he took advantage of what the situation was. It was a great matchup against the Jets. I thought he played well. He did. And Myers was a huge part of that. And so, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward. But again, Jets, Baltimore, totally different scenario here. So what he's going to deal with next Sunday night is a much different animal.
But couldn't we say that we know what the floor is for him, that 10 to 12 PPR point range, and that the ceiling, he broke the ceiling against the Jets. I don't think he'll ever be that good. But 8 catches, 90 yards, something like that, I can't rule that out as something that he could do. Yeah, it's hard to say against Baltimore, but against Houston the week after that, I don't mind it. Right. I don't mind using him as a number three receiver for the next couple of weeks.
But he's not going to do that if everybody's there, though. That's the
problem. But do you really care about N'Keal Harry?
That's the case.
Yes, I care about N'Keal Harry because they're going to play N'Keal Harry.
But he's a different type of receiver than N'Keal
Harry. They're still going to play these guys. And let's also not forget, they also just traded for Isaiah Ford, who's going to play as well. So they're getting guys back.
They're
getting guys on the field. And so it's just a matter of target share. They had nobody last night. I mean, their tight ends were obliterated. Those guys are all hurt. They haven't used them the majority of the season. And so, you know, you're just looking at what the landscape is. The landscape was Jets, terrible. He had a great opportunity. I think it was his birthday yesterday too. I think they referenced that on the broadcast.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just everything
it's not going to be as good as well. It's not going to be as good, but you still think, you know, 10 to 12 PPR fantasy points, you could get that.
Yeah, no, I think that's okay. Absolutely in play if there is no Edelman and Harry for the foreseeable future. The game you want to point to is the Houston game because you want to pick him up now. See what he does against Baltimore. Hope those guys stay out. And then you get to the Houston game. And if he's still playing at this level, then you got a must-start fantasy option.
All right. So let's think enough about Jacoby Myers. You can add him. Dave, I'm sorry. You said Duke Johnson, Jacoby Myers. Did you say Tim Patrick? Is that what I heard?
He was in there, but Curtis Samuel is ahead of him.
All right. What about Debo Samuel? That's the guy that, if he's available, that's like big
priority
for me.
And he's out there in 43% of leagues. And we know that he can absolutely contribute to the 49ers offense, especially now that George Kittle isn't going to be back anytime soon. Absolutely should be someone who's a priority. No guarantee that he'll play in week 10. Although I think there's a chance that he could make it.
Right. That's the problem for him is that if he doesn't play week 10, they have a bye in week 11. This is the long-term play. If you're looking at it from, can I get somebody that I could start in the fantasy playoffs? And the hope would be is that he comes back healthy, maybe this week, gets his, you know, shake the rust off game like hopefully we get from Dallas Goedert, who played before their bye week and didn't do very much. And then you get to week 12 plus, where we don't know what Jordan Reed's going to do or the tight ends. We don't know if Brandon Ayuk is still going to be this guy. And then Debo Samuel is the number one receiver for San Francisco. So he's absolutely in play for sure.
But Curtis Samuel is going to be another popular pick. And he's already been picked up in 58% of leagues. So he's not going to be out there anywhere, everywhere. But touchdown in 3 straight games. His catch rate is like 90% because he's getting all these little short passes, but he gets carries too. And we know that Christian McCaffrey is not going to be back anytime soon. Is there a chance that he gets 3 carries and 5 catches every week, whether the catches travel a foot or, you know, 8 yards? I think that there's a chance that he's going to still be involved in that Carolina offense. He's not my favorite receiver to pick up, obviously, but I think I'd consider it at this point.
He's the number one receiver for me this week because of what the scenario is for Carolina. If there is no Christian McCaffrey and he's not been ruled out yet, then you're looking at the guy who's going to share the backfield role with Mike Davis because we saw that he had 3 carries each of the last 3 games. He scored 2 rushing touchdowns in 2 of those 3. And one of those 3 carry games was with McCaffrey last week against the Chiefs. So they like him in this role. And the target spike is what you have to buy into. So last week was a season high in targets, catches, yards, scored a receiving touchdown for the second week in a row. And you're looking at a game where they're probably going to be in a shootout or chasing points against Tampa Bay, because I don't think Tampa Bay's offense is going to be as inept as it was against the Saints. So it's a good opportunity for Curtis Samuel. And if McCaffrey's injury lingers and Mike Davis continues to struggle, then they're going to probably lean on him even more.
And not only that, after Tampa Bay, there's Detroit and there's Minnesota. So the next 3 weeks, the toughest matchup is this week. After that, it's going to be even better for Samuel.
Yeah. I'm wondering, though, if it's Samuel and DJ Moore, kind of alternating, because this was the most that we saw Curtis Samuel in the passing game. But the rushing, I mean, he usually gets 3 to 4 carries a game, had a rushing touchdown a couple weeks ago, and we don't know that McCaffrey's out, but it doesn't sound good for Christian McCaffrey. And Mike Davis has
been
great.
But even if McCaffrey is on there, Jamie pointed it out, he still had 3 carries.
Yeah, he did. I know. Yeah, I just like he scored a rushing touchdown a couple of weeks ago before McCaffrey came back. I don't think he's going to do that really with McCaffrey.
No, but you know the fact that they gave him the red zone opportunity certainly gets the Falcons. You know, so I don't remember where the rushing touchdown came from in week 7. I think it was against Saints.
It was like 7 yards out.
Yeah, so you know, red zone opportunity.
Week 7. Yeah, no, I'm thinking of the Falcons.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, if they're giving him these chances, you got to buy into it, you know? So they're trying to get the ball in his hands as much as they can. That tells you something.
Okay, let me ask you how you feel about Duke Johnson this week, assuming David Johnson is out. Duke Johnson.
Start running back.
Yeah, like where are we ranking him? Who would you start him ahead of?
This is a crappy week for running backs. So he'd be a top 15 guy for me in PPR, closer to 20 in non-PPR. But at this point, I have more faith in Duke Johnson than I do Jonathan Taylor. You know, yeah. that type of thing. Not over a lot of prominent guys, but you know, you're still looking at a scenario of he got what, close to 20 touches in a game that David Johnson started. And you know he's going to work in the passing game. David Johnson's been basically as close to a workhorse as you can ask for in the NFL this year. And so Duke Johnson steps into that role. That's the encouraging thing.
Okay.
And we've seen it from Giovanni Bernard and Jamal Williams already this year, where the backup gets that big workload and the numbers have been good. So I think that that's what's on the table for Duke Johnson. The only question is, are we 100% sure that David Johnson's going to miss the game?
Right.
We can't say that definitively. It just, he took a hell of a hit, like I said.
The thing that you're looking at right now for your waiver priorities Tuesday night is what do I need versus what's going to help me long-term. If you don't need Duke Johnson, don't pick him up. You could try to play defense and block somebody else you're playing from getting him. I get that. But the thing that you got to do is if your fab budget is in good shape and you want to pick up a guy that, look, he may start for 2 or 3 weeks. We know how concussions linger. It's a wacky thing in the NFL. But if he's, you know, if David Johnson bounces back and plays, then Duke Johnson is going to be a waste of your fab money. So, you know, just be cautious about what you need and what you have to preserve for the rest of the season.
So, Jamie, were there any other names that we need to throw out right now? We'll obviously give a whole bunch throughout the show, but any other high priorities? Duke Johnson, Curtis Samuel, Debo Samuel, Dave said Tim Patrick, Austin Hooper, Dallas Goedert. Anyone else? Like, we haven't talked about a quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you got to keep an eye on the every Patrick Mahomes manager probably needs a quarterback. So Drew Lock and Tua are in great spots. You know, I mean, both guys coming off strong games. Clearly, Lock has been very good the last 2 weeks, fantasy-wise. You know, the Vic Fangio is basically calling out Pat Shurmur at this point. So their offensive game plan needs to be better in the first half, but they can't run the ball. So, you know, Lock with his receiving core, as healthy as it will be, despite the fact that he doesn't have Cortland Sutton and just lost Albert O, but still the main other parts are there and playing well. You have to like that. So I like those two quarterbacks. And, you know, aside from Duke Johnson at running back, again, if you want to look long-term, I said this last week, I'll say it again, Jordan Wilkins, if the Colts decide to make a change, you know, it was 2 weeks ago, he outplayed Jonathan Taylor. Last week, Taylor had the fumble, you know, so it's funny how Frank Reich is putting it on Tom Rathman to determine who's the, how the rotation is going. And he said it was a game flow thing. It's a good matchup against the Titans. You know, we've seen them give up a lot of production to running backs. So I'm still going to give Jonathan Taylor one more chance, but Jordan Wilkins is somebody I'd like to have on my fantasy team just in case Taylor has another mistake or struggles.
What about the world's most uninspiring superhero?
Gallman. Freeman could be back this week.
Right. That's the other
It hasn't Gallman earned enough to have that role?
No.
To be the lead back for the Giants? You don't think so?
Well, no. I would say that if he did, then you're really talking about a split and
It's going to be a split either way.
Yeah, like he's splitting with Alfred Morris.
It could be Freeman on. It could go back to where Devontae's playing in passing situations, and Gallman is in the rushing down role.
I think he's looked better than his numbers, but I don't know. It's crowded backfield. He scored a touchdown in 3 straight games.
Right,
right. But the passing down work has been terrible for him. You know, so they've been using Alfred Morris. I'm sure that Freeman's better than Alfred Morris. So you know he'll come in, and I don't think he's going to get Wally pipped, and all of a sudden doesn't play.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being amazing when he was playing.
Well, his two games prior to getting hurt were better than Gallman.
That's true.
Well, but he had 20 touches.
But he had a lot more work than Gallman did. Yeah.
I know their run game's terrible. So let's just say that. But you know, you could get some touchdowns there. JD McKissick, 47% roster. Just have to throw his name out there. Mm-hmm. Lions give up the fourth most receiving yards per game of the running backs. And just the stat on Drew Lock, who Jamie mentioned, four of the last five quarterbacks to face the Raiders have allowed have scored 27 or more points. Mm-hmm. And the one exception was Baker Mayfield in the horrible weather, right? Yep. I think
in the tornado.
Yeah. So, lock it up. All right. Tonight, if you need more advice, come join us on Twitch, 8 p.m. Eastern, twitch.com/FFtoday. Come join us. We have a lot of fun. We answer your questions. Just kind of talk about life, deep stuff, you know. And watch HQ, CBS Sports HQ, Fantasy Football Today, noon Eastern, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. on Sunday. Great shows. And if you missed the noon HQ show, you can actually watch it on demand on the CBS Sports app. On OTT devices. Go to the CBS Sports app, scroll down, and you'll see the familiar faces of the Fantasy Football Today crew. And you can watch it on demand. Big day?
Big day today.
Why?
Huge day.
Who's on today?
Big surprise today. Big surprise today. Usual cast character.
Okay. Big surprise.
David Heath will be there, myself as well. But huge day. Something new today. Brand new. Brand spanking new.
Oh, all right. Oh, I know. Okay. Now I know what it is. Yes. Big day. Must watch stuff. How much fab are we spending today, guys?
I think if you need a tight end, you could probably spend a lot on Goddard or Hooper, you know, especially without Kelsey there. So, you know, if you have the fab budget to spend and you need help, I would not be surprised if Goddard is a potential flex option rest of season. And just keep in mind, remember, there was the win game against Dallas. It was his first game back after the extended absence with the ankle injury. So he didn't have a lot of targets and Wentz was very erratic. But the last time the Giants and Eagles met, it was the Richard Rodgers game where he had six catches for 85 yards on eight targets. So Goddard has that going for him, plus what he could be. Remember last year, top 10 tight end, and his targets were up in the start of the season before he got hurt. So I like the outlook for him. If you need, you know, some tight end help rest of season, remember, we've seen, you know, I know Jonnu scored, but he's been struggling. Hunter Henry's been bad. You know, Mark Andrews is struggling. You know, if you want to just add a second tight end just to see if you can get some help. And clearly George Kittle's out. And then Austin Hooper, you know, again, you throw out that Raiders game, the game prior to that, which is the one Odell Beckham got hurt, which was the surprise game that Hooper missed. They got three touchdowns from their tight ends with Harrison Bryant and David Njoku in the Bengals game. And Hooper in the three games prior to his absence had at least 10 PPR points in all three of those games. So
at least five
now you have
catches.
Beckham gone.
They're exactly five.
Yeah. Beckham gone and, you know, a favorable matchup against the Texans. So I think there's not just a one-week appeal for Austin Hooper. There's long-term appeal, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're going to have to deal with Baker Mayfield throwing 28 times a lot, but a lot of those targets are going to go to Austin Hooper, you'd think. So he's a big priority. And then, like, how much fab would you put on Duke Johnson if you need a running back this week? Well, you said he's top 15, so I'll just let fantasy managers figure that out for themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be... It's going to be a lot. You're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 25% of what you started with. And it could be what you have left. That might be it. But if you need a win and he's the best running back to suit you, then you got to do what you got to do.
How much on JD McKissick? And let me ask you this. So McKissick, we think he's got a great matchup at Detroit this week. And Alex Smith seems like a pretty good fit for McKissick. And McKissick, Ben Schrager, he ran the most routes of any running back. Is that what it was?
Yep, in the whole league this week.
The next two games, after this week, the Bengals give up the fourth fewest receiving yards per game to running backs. You're talking guys like Eckler, Kareem Hunt, Miles Sanders, all had 15 or fewer yards. Hunt's caught a touchdown in both. What's that?
I throw out the Eckler game, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's week one with Tyrod Taylor, sure. And then the Cowboys, who give up the fewest receiving yards to running backs, including to JD McKissick, who did almost nothing in that game. So it's a great matchup. And then on paper, two bad ones, but maybe he can rise above that. Maybe he's just James White.
Well, I think what you got to do with him is just kind of know that you don't have to play him those weeks, but you still like to have him on your team. And Alex Smith, like you said, the change in quarterback is a definite boost for what JD McKissick could be moving forward. The Lions game and the Cowboys game would not be surprised if they're playing with a lead, which is when we've seen Antonio Gibson have his success. So Gibson is definitely in play for this week as well. But McKissick, I think with the quarterback change, is going to be still somebody you can rely on. So The nice thing about it is, aside from the Cowboys game, he has 6 catches in 4 of his past 5.
Right.
So that's just what you're looking at right out of the gate. He doesn't do very much running the ball, but you just know that you're looking at, like you said, a James White, a Tariq Cohen, a Darren Sproles, these guys that we've talked about for years, better in PPR than non-PPR. So don't spend your money on him in non-PPR. But if you do need to help somebody to help you in PPR, I had him as a top 24 running back last week. I had him as a top 20 running back this week.
Okay, but how much fab out of your original budget?
It's the same. It's 10 to 15%. You know, if you're just looking at it, remember, we're still talking most 12-team PPR leagues he's rostered, you know, so this is the 10-team PPR league. So, you know, it just depends on what's available to.
All right. You guys want to hear the injury list? Everybody take a seat. Get your favorite book out. Here are the injuries we're keeping an eye on. Christian McCaffrey, shoulder injury. Mike Davis is 87% rostered. Obviously, if you see him, pick him up. Raheem Mostert and Deebo Samuel could play this week. Damian Harris left with a chest injury, guys, so we'll get to it in a bit. But, Dave, your interest level in Rex Burkhead or Sony Michel?
Not high. They're playing Baltimore. Not an easy matchup for them. I do like Burkhead's versatility. Maybe he gets 10 touches against the Ravens. That might mean 50 yards. I don't feel great about Rex Burkhead this week as anything more than a non-PPR or half PPR flex.
It is a very similar setup to what you have with the receivers for the Patriots, because if there is a long-term absence for Damien Harris, then you get Houston in week 11. And that would be a good matchup for whoever the lead running back is for.
Right. But that's the problem.
So it's the same thing. You know, you're looking at Rex Burkhead coming off a very good game. Same thing like Jacoby Myers coming off a very good game. And if Harris is out, you know what Rex Burkhead has been whenever there's been just one absence, you know, whether it's James White, whether it's, you know, Sony Michel over the last couple of years. So he's their jack of all trades. And I could still see him being their best running back, even though Michelle's there. So I would like to have Burkhead stashed if I have an open roster spot.
Baker Mayfield,
right, he's not going to be like a 10% of fab guy.
No.
Right. Okay. Well, if you're desperate, you know, sure. Baker Mayfield could be off the reserve COVID list. And again, I'm going to say that, you know, let me go back to that thought. I said it a few weeks ago, but I'll say it again. Every week we give fab recommendations, honest, sincere fab recommendations. And then I look at my leagues and every week guys are going for a lot more than we recommended. So all that means is there just needs to be one manager in your league that really needs that player or just isn't very good at placing fab bids and goes too crazy. And so you need to either understand, all right, it's okay that I didn't get this guy or this player that right. I'm saving my fab. But
Adam, you might have to
be more aggressive. That's always the caveat. We'll tell you what we recommend. You have to give it, you know, you have to put it in perspective of your own team and your own needs. And if you have to be more aggressive, go for it.
I write the recommendations every week. And then I go to my own leagues and I'm like, oh, I need this guy.
Right.
You know, so there's personal bias there that I have to overcome with my own fantasy roster. So I think we say that all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
clearly something that is case by case. If you need Rex Burkhead because you need a flex play against Baltimore or Jacoby Myers because you need a receiver against Baltimore, you pick up that guy and you use him.
Right.
So could a fantasy manager go see what Jordan Wilkins went for, or any running back from earlier this year in their league, and say, okay, that's what I need to spend if I want to get Duke Johnson or Rex Burkhead, and I got to have them. Like, if you see in your league that these running backs that come off the waiver wire are going for 35% of fab, then I would make the assumption that that's what you would have to put down to get them.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's a good reference point. You also have to consider at this point that fantasy managers have less fab than they did back then, but they're also probably a little more desperate for a win. So I don't know which way that's going to swing it. I'm going to guess
somebody who's 3-6 or, you know, this is it. What are you saving your money for?
Right. Okay. How about Baker Mayfield. We're hoping he comes off the reserve COVID list by Wednesday. Nick Chubb could be back this week. What about Joe Mixon? I haven't heard much about him. Are we expecting him back?
So they had a COVID related situation that didn't allow them to practice on Monday. So there was no understanding of what their injury report looks like coming off their bye. So Giovanni Bernard is at 80%. If he's available, you have to pick him up, because if Joe Mixon's out, even though it's Pittsburgh, you want to have that guy on your team.
Pittsburgh's been giving up a lot of long runs, like 14, 15 or more yard I was reading yesterday since the Devin Bush injury. They don't have a consistently bad run defense, but they're giving up some big plays. We don't know yet about Devontae Freeman. Looking better for Miles Sanders. Expect him to practice this week. David Johnson, David Montgomery, both in the concussion protocol. The Colts say they have confidence in Jonathan Taylor. So we'll get into that when we talk about
Jordan
Wilkins.
They got a funny way of showing that.
Right. They said it was game script. I think you can definitely think it was the fumble. That was more the reason for one carry after the fumble. Kenyon Drake is day-to-day. Justin Jackson left after three snaps. We haven't talked about Kalen Ballage. Revenge game.
They put Kalen Ballage back on the practice squad. So something you got to keep in mind.
Well, they can do that, though. They can. Absolutely. It's a weird maneuver.
It factors in with Troy Maine Pope, too.
Yeah, they're going to mix and match all their guys. It could get really ugly until Eckler's back.
Well, let's hope Justin Jackson's back this week because he could be a starter. Preston Williams has a foot injury.
Here's the thing. Forget about Justin Jackson because then when you do, he's good.
Preston Williams, foot injury. Kyle Allen, ankle surgery. So it's Alex Smith. Mike Williams. Do we know anything about him? He left on the second to last play of the game.
There was no injury reported. Anthony Lynn, I haven't seen address it yet. So at this point, you got to assume he's playing. But I don't know how many people want to trust him against a good Dolphin secondary.
There was a broken heart, Adam.
Broken heart, yeah. Well, he and the rest of the team have left with a broken heart like seven times this year.
Never seen a team like that.
Noah Fant hurt his ankle. He did return, but now Albert O tore his ACL. So hopefully that could get maybe some more end zone targets for Noah Fant. Matthew Stafford, concussion. Vance McDonald on the COVID list.
Matthew Stafford is not in the concussion protocol, though. He was checked for a concussion.
Oh, so he's healthy.
He's healthy.
Okay.
He's expected to play.
And he's about 80% rostered, I think. Ben Roethlisberger hurt both his knees.
Kenny Golladay injury or not away from playing for your fantasy team.
Ben Roethlisberger hurt both his knees, so you knew he was going to dramatically come back and win the game. Kendrick Bourne on the reserve COVID list. Richard Sherman is off IR, has 3 weeks to be activated. Irv Smith actually left with a leg injury. The Bears have been giving up a ton of touchdowns to tight ends lately. So Irv Smith is interesting, but he did leave with a leg injury. Doesn't mean he's out, but just keep it in mind. Jake Luton's likely going to start this week. Laviska Shenault's got a chance to play this week. Cleveland could be getting their guard Wyatt Teller, who's had a good year, back this week. Vegas is hoping to get their left tackle back, and I won't go through the rest of the injuries. Oh, Calais Campbell. He's going to miss several weeks with a hamstring injury, and that's a pretty big deal. They've got the Patriots coming in now. Maybe that makes things a little better for Rex Burkhead if he's the starting running back. Let's get our top three at each position, then we'll recap the Jets and the Patriots, and then we'll get even deeper into the waiver wire. Jamie, top three quarterbacks.
The top three quarterbacks would be Drew Lock, Tua Tagovailoa, and then it gets ugly. But just depends on, I think, what you need. Those two guys should be the two best. And then if you just need a one-week replacement, look, Phillip Rivers was bad against Baltimore. That was expected. But now he gets Tennessee. They've been awful against quarterbacks. And in his two previous games prior to facing Baltimore, he put up good numbers, at least 28 fantasy points in those two games. So I go back and forth between Rivers and Baker Mayfield because of Baker's matchup against Houston. But the reason I would say Rivers over Baker is twofold. One, that there's the COVID-19 scenario out there. So just in case Baker doesn't play. And two, they're getting Nick Chubb back. They're probably going to be able to run. I don't know how much Baker will throw.
And another name that needs to be thrown out is Jared Goff. He is 81% rostered, but Seattle this week. So if you happen to see Jared Goff on your waiver wire, hey, pick him up, wouldn't you? Would you do that for him? Pick him up and start him against Seattle. Dave, top running backs.
Same thing with Wentz. People may have dropped Wentz because of the bye week.
Yeah, he's what, about 80, 70, 83. What is it?
83%.
83, okay, yeah. Yep. Dave, running back.
Well, let me stump for Nick Foles, a quarterback, just as the third guy. Again, you'd have to be desperate, but he's in that same boat as Baker Mayfield and Phillip Rivers for me. Running back, Duke Johnson, number one. I've got Gallman second. That's under the assumption that Devontae Freeman still stays away. McKissick is third, but there's still Gus Edwards is out there in 45% of leagues. Rex Burkhead's out there. Cam Akers is out there in 56% of leagues. I'm not saying that any of those guys I just named are top three. I think the top three are pretty simple with Duke, Gallman, and McKissick. But Akers, if he follows the trend of what Swift and Dobbins did, there could be a big game coming for him soon.
So, Dave, who's the running back that's going to kick Devontae Freeman to the curb? Gallman! I'm surprised.
I think you paint him as like an evil villain.
I'm surprised.
I think he's more of like, a superhero wearing gray.
But he has gall. He's such a jerk.
No, like his tagline is "Hi, everybody." Like, he's not like the most exciting superhero. He's a boring superhero.
No, his tagline
he's
is
"Gall Man."
His tagline is "That shirt doesn't fit you well." Gall Man. He's, you know, he's just kind of a jerk.
I get it.
But thank you. I'm surprised you have him ahead of like J.D. McKissick, Gus Edwards. Because it's a tough matchup.
He could be the rest of season answer running back for the Giants.
Okay. All right.
McKissick, we know exactly what he is. And in PPR, he's that, you know, safe 10 to 12 point guy.
Yeah. What about Edwards? I mean, Gus Edwards has a pretty good opportunity this week.
The problem is that if Ingram returns. But yeah, like if you were to tell me that Devontae Freeman is definitely out again, I would say that he should be third ahead of Edwards. McKissick, he should be ahead of McKissick in non-PPR. But McKissick isn't on a different level than Gallman in PPR, because if Gallman doesn't score, then he's going to be worthless. You're getting lucky that he's finding the end zone. The thing about Edwards is obviously that if Ingram plays, what's going to happen? You know, who goes into what role? Does Ingram come back to being the quote-unquote lead guy? Or does he all of a sudden become the third guy because of what Dobbins and Edwards have done? The nice thing for Edwards is they threw the ball to him last week, had two catches, and he scored in back-to-back games without Ingram there. So, you know, I think Gallman and Edwards are relatively the same based on what their production has been, their touches have been, their workload has been. I would certainly take Edwards over Gallman based on his matchup this week because it's great against the Patriots.
Can I name one more running back?
Yes, and then I have a follow-up.
Salvon Ahmed of the Miami Dolphins.
Do you think he's the lead guy, though, because Washington's going to play?
If Washington plays, he might be okay, but I liked what I saw from Ahmed. I think he's got the most juice of any of those running backs that they've got, and I think the Raiders kind of proved that if you can attack the edges of the Chargers, you're going to have success.
If it's
take a week and a half to get out there, I don't know if Washington can. I know Ahmed can.
If it's the three guys who are still there right now, then yes, I'm with you. Ahmed should be the guy. But there's two things, again, working at play here. You have Washington making his debut, who they traded for, who may be their best guy, or Matt Breida could play. Because, you know, it wasn't like it's a long-term injury for Breida. So I think if you're in a deeper league, Ahmed could be somebody you want to add, but you know it's going to be Howard at the goal line, which is unfortunate. And they didn't throw the ball to him.
Breida is actually pretty interesting, I think, as a waiver wire add if he's going to play this week. Mm-hmm. Totally,
64%
totally
available.
Off the radar. I didn't realize it was that high. I didn't even look. I kind of had forgotten about him. 64%. Okay, that's interesting.
No, he's available in 64%
okay.
of leagues.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, the Dolphins running backs could be an absolute mess, or it could be one guy is fantastic, but we just don't know which that guy is going to be.
All right, last question about running backs. This basically, we've previewed the entire position. That's fine. Why not more aggressive on Jordan Wilkins here? You just don't see a scenario where he's really taking over for Jonathan Taylor?
No. I don't think it's a situation where Taylor is, hey, bye-bye, you know, go sit down forever. Because Jordan Wilkins is not great. I mean, you know, Jordan Wilkins had a strong performance two games ago against Detroit with 20 for 89 and touchdown. And Taylor fumbled last week. And so how much of this is, look, because Taylor was actually running well before the fumble. You know, it wasn't like he was bad against Baltimore.
His first carry was very good.
And so, you know, you just have to say, you see what the upside is with Taylor. You know what his potential is, you know, and I'm sure Tom Rathman and Frank Reich are looking at it and saying, God, just do the right things, dude. Just do what you got to do, and we're going to give you as many touches as you can handle. And so short week, we'll see what happens. I'm still going to start Taylor as a number two running back, but Wilkins is somebody I'd like to have on my team just in case.
Yeah, the thing is about Jonathan Taylor is that he's not having a good year. I was just reading about him in The Athletic, and then I was looking at some of the comments. A couple of Colts fans put the Trent Richardson tag on him, so they're pretty discouraged. He's just not doing well. He's not making big plays, and he's one fumble away from being code red if he fumbles again, and we know fumbles are an issue here. Jamie framed it well earlier. You never know. Jordan Wilkins is not a bad player to add and to stash. You just don't know what's going to happen there.
But it would take a massive commitment by the Colts coaching staff to make Jordan Wilkins useful in fantasy. And he's never been consistently good, ever. I cannot prioritize him. I just can't do it.
Okay. He's also never had this opportunity to. You know, this offensive line, this coaching staff, this system with everything they're looking at here. So
I don't know if the offensive line is as good. It's definitely one of the better ones in the league at this point, but I think it's been a letdown.
Oh, by comparison to last year, yes.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, we got wide receivers, tight ends, all the DSTs, and make sure you're picking up Jason Sanders, please, and Rodrigo Blankenship. All right, kickers matter. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
Let's talk about some wide receivers now. Jamie, give us your top wide receiver priorities.
Well, Curtis Samuel would be one just based on the opportunity to get some carries with McCaffrey potentially out and, you know, build off what he did last week. I wish it was DJ Moore getting these targets, but season high in targets, catches, receiving yards, and caught a touchdown for the second week in a row and facing a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, but you're looking long-term, again, depending on how long McCaffrey's out as well as what his role could be in the passing game. Jacoby Myers would be second for me, just looking at what the setup is for him. Hopeful that what we saw against the Jets is something that they can build off of. But like I said earlier, you know, you just got to worry about the return of N'Keal Harry, the return of Julian Edelman, and tough matchup against Baltimore this week. And then I'm going to put Alan Lazard third. He's not very available at 62% with his roster percentage, but, 17-plus PPR points in two of the three games that he played. And with the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now, it's not a bad idea to have one of his top guys.
Samuel, Myers, Lazard, Curtis Samuel, that is. I'm sure Debo Samuel will be up there as well. Dave, any other names you want to add? I know you like Tim Patrick.
Patrick is third for me. I've got Myers one, Samuel two, Patrick three. And it's more so for the PPR factor for Myers. It's the same reason why Jamie liked McKissick better than Gallman, because the catches should be there. And I'm not worried about N'Keal Harry coming back and suddenly ruining Jacoby Myers. I think Myers has to be a part of the Patriots game plan moving forward just because of how he's connected with Cam Newton. They'd be foolish to take that away. But Patrick isn't the number one receiver in Denver anymore. It has happened. Jerry Jeudy is that guy. The double-digit targets the past 2 weeks kind of proved that. But what I am hoping for is that Patrick knocked the rust off last week and he still scored in that game. And then he can step up moving forward, get more targets than he did last week. This Denver offense, Drew Lock isn't a perfect passer by any stretch, but he's attempting over 40 passes per game. I'd like to see that continue. And Jamie already told you, you could see it by watching the game as well. They are not very good at running the football with running backs. So they're going to throw it a lot. And Patrick should end up being that second best target for them. So I'm excited about him, even if he's just a bench guy that I could use in place of a receiver who's on bye later on this year or gets hurt later on. I think he can fit that bill.
They're using a lot of guys. I mean, KJ Hamler had double digit in targets last week. Noah Fant is clearly going to have a role. So it's all a matter of, is Drew Lock still throwing the ball 40 plus times? It's been three games in a row with 40 plus attempts. And that's the nice thing for all of these receiving options, because their defense is struggling, their run game is struggling, and they're putting a lot on Lock, which they should, because this isn't a playoff team. So see what your young quarterback can do and feature some of these receiving options. So Patrick had a touchdown or 100 yards receiving in four of his last five games. The one game where he failed to do that, it was the game he got hurt in 3 weeks ago. No, so we'll see. We'll see what he does as the second guy, but he's certainly somebody you should like.
Jimmy, I'm wondering if you wanted to put John Brown ahead of these guys.
Yeah, didn't I give that to you?
I don't think you said him though. You said Curtis Samuel.
Won. Yeah, you know what? That's a mistake on my part, because he's the first guy on the top of my list. John Brown's at 65%, so he's right on the threshold. But yeah, absolutely, he should be the first receiver added. I apologize for that. So with what he has, what he showed you last week when he's healthy, is the type of receiver you should expect, because at the start of the season he was fantastic. Josh Allen, I think, missed him in October when he was battling the injuries, and you saw it. September, great. First game in November, great. October, miserable. And maybe John Brown is not necessarily the full key of what Josh Allen needs, but he's a big key. And he's having a great season. He had a great season last year. And I thought he'd be good as the second option because looking at number two cornerbacks trying to chase him around the field, not going to be a pretty scenario. And that seems to be the case.
Yeah, I just want to ask you real quick, the matchup against Arizona, they have not allowed two wide receivers in the same game to do well, really. You're looking at Detroit, Carolina, Dallas, Seattle, Miami. None of them had like two wide receivers go off. I think Dallas had two wide receivers get about 70 yards, 70 to 80 yards. So it's been a pretty good pass defense. And if we're going to obviously expect Diggs to be one good wide receiver. So unfortunately, you know, your top two wide receivers, John Brown at Arizona, and then Curtis Samuel against the Buccaneers, which is worse for him in the run game than the pass game. Are you nervous about them this week?
Well, I mean, John Brown, I'm starting. You know, so like you said, it hasn't been two receivers consistently, but Preston Williams scored. Devontae Parker had 12 PPR points, you know, so in PPR, you can still get two guys getting decent production. DK Metcalf just missed a touchdown at the end of the game. You know, that was called back on a penalty, you know, that would have put him over the top with what Tyler Lockett did in that game. You know, so some of it's circumstantial. I don't fear John Brown going against that secondary.
Okay, Dave, top three tight ends.
Goddard one if he's there. He's available only in 37% of CBS sports leagues. But if he's there, he's got the chance to be the best Eagles tight end rest of season. I know that Zach Ertz will come back, but Zach Ertz really wasn't doing that great when he was out there before. Hooper is really close as far as like the difference between one and two. That's why I wouldn't spend a ton to get Goddard. I would try and probably put the same bid in for Goddard and Hooper and be happy to get either one of them. But Hooper's available in 60% of CBS sports leagues, 5 catches in each of his past 3 games. Now he's coming back to a Browns offense without Odell Beckham, and I think he's going to continue to get a lot of targets. You can take that as a tight end.
One more.
There aren't a lot of guys that are like that. Jimmy Graham is third. I really don't want to talk about him, but he is a top 10 fantasy tight end right now. If you just look at the raw data and fantasy points that he scored.
Oh. It's his first touchdown last week since week 5, but he does have 4 games in a row with at least 6 targets. So, you know, they're throwing the ball around all over the place. Like Dave said, Nick Foles is in play because of the volume of passing in the matchup against Minnesota. Minnesota has allowed some big production to tight ends lately. I think it's three of their last 4 games, the tight end has scored.
Yep.
I want to go back to something because I'm glad you brought up John Brown because he's at the top of my list for wide receivers, and I can't believe that I didn't mention him first. He is a break the bank guy. He is absolutely somebody that, if he's available, you should have on your fantasy team because he could be a difference maker.
Okay, and you're right about Jimmy Graham. Through the last 4 tight ends, through the last 4 games, Minnesota's allowed a touchdown to a tight end. The one time they didn't, they gave up 5 catches for 79 yards to Robert Tonyan, plus another 46 yards plus another 46 yards to Jay Starnberger. So that's Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is the number 6 tight end in fantasy, and he is rostered in 52% of leagues. And I don't, like, that's fine. You don't have to treat him like the number 6 tight end in fantasy, but he is.
We're in a league together, the flex leagues, where I drafted Blake Jarwin, and I've picked up both, or over the course of the season, Trey Burton, Jimmy Graham, and Robert Tonyan. I've dropped Robert Tonyan, so I have Trey Burton and Jimmy Graham. And every week I look at my tight ends, and I'm like, I don't want to play Jimmy Graham. I don't want to play Jimmy Graham. And every week I play him. And he's not awful.
Yeah, get some targets, get some catches. DSTs.
He's the Todd Gurley of tight ends.
How about that? DSTs, who are the... Jamie, you said it's a great week for streaming DSTs. Who do we got?
The top two are fantastic. The Saints and the Eagles are available, and the Saints get the 49ers. Who knows what that offense is going to look like, but it looked bad the last time we saw them against the Packers. Nick Mullins is a turnover machine, so love the setup for the Saints, especially after you saw what they just did against Tampa Bay. And then the Eagles against the Giants. Look, the Giants played well against the Washington football team, but I don't think that's a good indication of this team being a good offensive team. So the Eagles coming off their bye week, they should be healthy on the defense side of the ball as well. So great setup for those two. Then there's some interesting ones. The Lions, because you've seen what the Washington football team looks like offensively. It's not a good defense, but Alex Smith just had 3 interceptions against the Giants, and he's not going to challenge down the field. So it's going to be a dink and dunk type of offense. Maybe Matt Patricia can actually do some coaching and give the defense a game plan that could help their fantasy production. The Dolphins, I know it's a tough matchup against the Chargers, but their defense has been great. They scored a defensive touchdown each of the last 2 weeks. So there's somebody that you can buy into against Justin Herbert going across the country. And then the Vikings defense against the Bears, they give up a ton of sacks. Again, the Vikings defense isn't great, but Nick Foles likes to fall on the ground and tends to turn the ball over as well.
So you said Saints and Eagles 1-2. Dave, who do you like better, Saints or Eagles?
Saints first, Eagles second. I've got the Vikings third, followed by the Dolphins and the Lions.
Okay, so that's the same top five. There are two teams that are rostered in, I think, 67% of leagues that are also interesting. The Packers get the Jaguars and the Giants against the Eagles. You know, they're probably going to be some sacks, hopefully some turnovers. That the Giants against the Eagles a few weeks ago were not that bad. So, but I think we dropped the Packers and the Giants for the Saints and Eagles, right?
And we dropped the Giants and the Packers. Yes. I'd also take a look just because they were playing New Orleans. Some people dropped the Bucs and, you know, their matchup against Carolina. I'm sure they're going to be a little upset after what happened to them.
I think we have seen I totally agree. Separate note, though, we've seen the last 2 weeks, they are making some big mistakes in the secondary. I mean, they're leaving guys wide open. The Giants were not able to capitalize on it, and the Saints certainly were.
Well, Bruce Arians said what I think a lot of people watching that game were thinking, like, why are you not blitzing? And he said after the game, we thought that our front four can get after Breeze, and that was clearly not the case, and they need to send some pressure. You know, I mean, you have a great secondary, but you're leaving them out there to dry if you're not going to get after the quarterback.
Yeah. They might be able to get away with the same game plan this week, though, because the Panthers' offensive line isn't anywhere as good as the Saints' offensive line.
True.
Jamie, who are the kickers to add?
You mentioned Jason Sanders. I'd go back to Mason Crosby. He's been a little bit of a bust based on where he was earlier this season, but the Jaguars give up a lot of production to opposing kickers. And then I'm still going to buy into Blankenship. You know, I know he's been bad since their bye week, but I think this matchup against Tennessee, they'll move the ball. Whether they have success in the red zone, we'll see. But I'll trust Blankenship once again.
All right, I'm going to recap for everybody, and then, you know, we still have more time. We'll still talk about more names. Drew Lock, Tua Tagovailoa are the top two at quarterback this week. There's also, I mean, you could find Jared Goff, Carson Wentz on your waiver wire. Well, I'll ask you guys about Teddy Bridgewater in a bit. Nick Foles might not be terrible. So there are some options there. Running back.
Oh, he's terrible, but he may be a good fantasy
quarterback. Right? Exactly.
Right.
Jimmy Graham of quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the Vikings, and you see they give up a ton of fantasy points to quarterbacks. Look at the quarterbacks they've played, though. I mean, they have played like Hall of Famers, basically, most of the year.
And Nick Foles is?
A Super Bowl MVP. Our running back, Duke Johnson, J.D. McKissick, Wayne Gallman, depending probably on Freeman, Gus Edwards, Rex Burkhead, Cam Akers, not bad long-term, Jordan Wilkins, good long-term to stash. Wide receivers, Debo and Curtis Samuel are interesting, but John Brown is Jamie's favorite. Break the bank on John Brown, who's 65% rostered. Jacoby Myers, Alan Lazard, Tim Patrick, these are names to know. Tight ends, Dallas Goedert and Austin Hooper ahead of the pack. Jimmy Graham would be third. DST, Saints, Eagles, Lions, Dolphins, Vikings, or Saints, Eagles, Vikings, Lions, Dolphins.
Lions are dead last.
Dolphins, okay.
Don't go with bad defenses.
Jason Sanders, Mason
Crosby. Still go with the Vikings.
They've been playing a little better. But
they're still not good.
Jason Sanders, Mason Crosby, Rodrigo Blankenship are kickers to know. Patriots 30, Jets 27. You know, we covered this through the waiver wire. We covered a lot about the Patriots here. First question, though. Well, oh, by the way, Mekhi Becton left with an injury. That was Jets left tackle. Rookie, he's having a pretty solid year, so he left in the first quarter.
When he's healthy.
Yeah, he's right in and out all the time. All right, Cam Newton. Like, you got the game you wanted against the Jets. He has scored, what, 8 rushing touchdowns now this year? Yeah, and is that right?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Do you drop him or do you keep? You're not starting him against Baltimore. Then it's Houston and Arizona after that. But, you know, what
I put
do
him
do?
On the drop list.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you got what you needed.
Right.
And, you know, like, I'll just give you, you know, one example. I have Cam and Josh Allen as quarterbacks. And I'm going to drop Cam to pick up Drew Lock. It's a 10-team league, so Lock should be available.
Okay. So what about Jamison Crowder? How concerned are you about the situation with Perryman, Mims, both healthy? We haven't really seen that this year much. They got 15 targets combined. Crowder had 2. Luckily, one of them was a touchdown catch. Great touchdown catch. But this is a guy who had
a 20-yard touchdown catch. It reminds me of what Flacco's tendency is. I think it played out perfectly in this game.
To throw
He's
downfield.
Not a dink and dunker. Yeah. He's a downfield thrower, man. He thinks of himself as a cannon-armed quarterback. He might be the only one that thinks himself that way.
I don't know what the scenario is because I haven't, you know, looked at the game extensively just outside from watching it last night. But the touchdown catch, Crowder had three guys chasing him. I'm going to guess he got Belichicked. Like, let's let Brashad Perryman and Denzel Mims beat us and not let the best receiver on the other team beat us, really the best offensive player on the other team beat us. So I would imagine that's part of what happened to Jameson Crowder last night. And, along with Flacco. I mean, Dave's right.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Flacco's a different quarterback than, yeah, than Sam
he'll
Darnold.
He'll be back to being awesome in PPR when Darnold's back.
Yeah, plus they have their bye. You don't have to worry about it. You're not dropping James Crowder.
I don't know what his typical snap count is, but he only played 2/3 of the snaps, and he was coming off an injury. So maybe that was his lowest. Stragger's telling me that was his lowest of the season, 67% lowest of the season. So that had something to do with it, too. Luckily, he got you that touchdown. Crowder was only started in 25% of leagues. Any interest in picking up Perryman or Mims long-term?
If they weren't on their bye, I think you could look at Perryman and say if Flacco's starting for any stretch that there's something to like. But even with Darnold starting there, I mean, look, they need other receivers. They're going to be chasing points most weeks. Their run game is non-existent. So, you know, both guys are in play. But Perryman, you know, but they both showed you something last night.
But if you lined them up against the receivers that we've already talked about, I don't think there's no way I'm taking him ahead of John Brown. There's no way I'm taking him ahead of Jacoby Myers or Curtis Samuel.
No, what about like it's Nelson Aguilar, Rashard Higgins,
right,
those types
they're,
of guys?
They're in that, right. So that's that same group. And I'd much rather have Aguilar, who's playing this week and has played well for four of his past five games. In fact, every game that he's played in where wind wasn't a factor, he scored. I wish he had more targets, but I think they're kind of the same guy. But Aguilar's the one who's been getting it done. I'd rather have him.
Okay. I have an Aguilar stat. Get to it in a minute. Time for the drop-o-meter. Drop-o-meter 0 to 10, Corey Davis.
0.
Correct.
How about DJ Dallas?
0.
1.
All right, we got to wait and see. Obviously, if Carson's back, then different conversation.
Then it's like 8.5, right?
Cole Beasley.
7.
7 and non. I'd still say 5 in PPR.
Jonnu Smith.
Oh, I think he bought himself one more week. So I'll say 2.
Yeah, I'll say 4.
Emmanuel Sanders.
6. 0.
6-0.
Revenge game this week.
Against awesome. San Francisco. I mean,
he might get you 6 or 7 points.
Well, he's scoring a little bit. You know,
I don't know. When it's a guy small sample size when a player with him scores, and Thomas playing.
Yeah, when a player scores, then you don't feel like Sanders is going to get a ton of targets rest of the season.
None of the Saints wide receivers had a great game, and he threw 32 times. So that was against a good secondary. This is a bad secondary. I'm giving Sanders one more week.
Robert Tonyan.
8.
5.
Tonyan. 8, 5. Okay. Marquise Brown.
0.
0.
All righty. Let's do some more waiver wiring. Quarterbacks in shallow leagues. You got Carson Wentz, Derek Carr, and Jared Goff. 81% to 83% rostered. If you see them on your waiver wire, Wentz, Carr, Goff. Dave, how would you rank those three?
Wentz is first.
This week, Wentz over Goff?
Wentz over Goff this week. Goff's still top 12 for me. I've got him ahead of Lamar Jackson in my rankings. I don't know if I'm going to keep it that way, but that's how I have it going into Monday night. And then Carr is third against Denver, but I like them all.
Okay. Beware Carson Wentz.
I
know I said this a few weeks ago and he had 32 points against the Giants, but the guy is really having a bad year. They are definitely healthier. That's going to help. That's going to help. So
I would the only guy that I would put ahead of Carr this week. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I would put Tua, Lock and Tua in that order ahead of Carr. So the order that I would have it is Goff 1, Wentz 2, Lock 3, Tua 4, Carr 5.
Okay.
I love Lock this week.
And then we've got Rivers at Tennessee. They've allowed multiple touchdown passes in every game since week one. Mayfield, if he can just throw enough against Houston, they just allowed 23 points to Jake Luton. Nick Foles, I'm going to have to make a Mayfield versus Foles decision in our 2 QB league. Luton himself at Green Bay and Alex Smith at Detroit. Detroit, last 2 weeks, Phillip Rivers, 28 points. Kirk Cousins, 26 points. And neither of them even threw 30 passes. So it's a good matchup for Alex Smith. You know, it's Alex Smith.
Right.
Running backs, Duke Johnson. Well, the check to see if available group is Mike Davis, Giovanni Bernard, and Boston Scott. They're 73% to 86% rostered, and it speaks for themselves. If they have the opportunities, they're going to be great. Duke Johnson, 1, J.D. McKissic, Wayne Gallman, Gus Edwards, Rex Burkhead. We've talked about all these guys. Talk to me about the Dolphins Chargers game, basically, and the running backs there.
Avoid it if you can. I mean, yeah, it could be messy. It'd be nice if there's some clarity on Justin Jackson out, Troy Maine-Pope in, and Bilal still on the practice squad. Then you could say, okay, maybe Troy Maine-Pope's got a chance to be the guy with Joshua Kelly, and we've seen Joshua Kelly struggle. For the Dolphins, if you get Matt Breida healthy, he'd be the one I think you look at, but we're probably not going to know that until Wednesday. Dave mentioned it. Ahmed looked the best of the guys who were available to Miami against the Cardinals, but DeAndre Washington wasn't there. So Washington would be the guy that I'd put a bid on. Small bid, Ahmed, small bid, you know, just to see if you get one of the two. But the fact that Miami knew they had Ahmed and still traded for Washington probably tells you that they don't necessarily trust him fully, and they didn't use him in the passing game at all. And you saw what Washington was last year when he got an opportunity to play. He was fantastic. Different team, different setup, totally. But I still think it's worth speculating on Washington just as long as Gaskin and Breida are banged up.
Do the Dolphins have a running back that you can point to and say, that guy's going to get 15 touches against the Chargers?
Yeah, he's on IR.
Okay. The thing is, the Chargers have one of the worst run defenses in football. 4.97 yards per carry allowed to running backs. They've allowed four rushing touchdowns in their last three games just to running backs. So that's the thing.
Devontae Booker had a 23-yard touchdown run.
Right. I mean, this should be a game where we got Gaskin in our top 12, unfortunately.
It could top five. it could be a scenario of like we saw last week, you know, where one guy is getting, you know, maybe 50 total yards. You know, I know Ahmed didn't get that, but he looked like he could have been on his way if they gave him more work. Howard scores a touchdown, and then one guy gets two or three catches. You know, so that's the frustrating part of this. They will be a total committee.
Yeah. It's a Patriots coaching staff, so it shouldn't be surprising. And I think Bolaj ends up making the active roster in time for the game for the Chargers.
I don't think so if everybody's healthy.
Right. Well, yeah. I think he does. I think he played really well last week. And it's crazy to say that because it's Kalen Bolaj, but remember, he's not being coached by Adam Gase.
Revenge game.
He's not just left Gase once, he's left Gase twice.
Yeah, I know. And it's like he's twice as good, which is saying something for him.
But you get a bigger boost every time you leave Adam Gase.
If Jackson's out and if Troy Maine-Pope is out, he's going to be my favorite Chargers running back for sure. I think he could end up being a 15-touch guy who could, like, you could start as a number two running back, but it takes that.
Jackson, yeah, I wouldn't do that. It's a tough matchup. Chase Edmonds just showed you what you can get, a lot of work and bad.
Well, that's the thing. They were one of the worst run defenses in football before, according to like DVOA and some other metrics, before the Chase Edmonds game. I don't know how Edmonds had such a bad game. It was so disappointing.
Because they used him the wrong way.
I don't care. They gave him 20 touches. They gave him 20 carries. Like, he should have done better.
25.
They used him like they used Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, well,
not the same type of running back, but Bolaj is.
Okay, so Bears running backs.
Pass.
No, thank you.
Somebody's gonna have to get some work, right?
I'm gonna guess if Montgomery's out, we see Lamar Miller make his debut because he's sitting on their practice squad. So, you know, you look at Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall. Nall didn't get a carry last week despite Montgomery leading the game. He scored a touchdown through the air. I mean, Patterson is.
How many catches did he have?
Four.
I think he had four.
Nall. Yeah. So. Maybe there's something there in PPR, but I don't know if
he's null, man.
Null and void. Wide receivers. Okay, Jerry Jeudy would be a big priority. Jamie, you also have AJ Green listed at 68%. What's your interest level in him?
Long term. You know, I don't want to necessarily judge him on the one bad game he had prior to their bye week. He was starting to make some strides prior to that. You're not going to play him this week against Pittsburgh, but, you know, it's not a bad stash candidate just to see what happens to close the year.
John Brown, Curtis Samuel, Jacoby Myers, Alan Lazard, and Deebo Samuel, and then Sterling Shepard. If you want six catches, Sterling Shepard's got him. Every game he's been healthy. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. What do you think?
I just gave him two because the way that I write it is different than the notes that I gave you, so I just gave you both Packers guys together. So,
gotcha.
Lazard is the one you want to pick up. Valdez-Scantling is you're stuck. Dart throw, hope that he, you know, scores again. But four targets last week, you know, two catches, 53 yards and two touchdowns. It's just too fluky.
I hope that people in your league go after Valdez-Scantling. Like, you shouldn't be the one to chase him. Let others chase him.
It's hard to ignore 184 yards and a touchdown from Richie James. What are your thoughts on him at New Orleans this week? Richie James.
He could be in a good spot if you know, Bourne doesn't play and Deebo Samuel's out. Because we just don't know what the tight end production is going to be. You know, I'm hoping Jordan Reed has a better game. But Ross Dwelly's still there too. I think you look at, he clearly showed Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff something that he could play and needs to be involved. And so as long as Debo's out and Ben Bourne is out, then not a bad number three receiver in deeper leagues, better as a number four guy. But, you know, this is not a guy you want to put in a bid for unless it's just a $1 bid, zero bid, or, you know, waivers run through once or twice and you need a receiver just to see what happens, because we could get to the end of the week and everybody's healthy.
Another receiver that you better hope people in your league chase. They see those big numbers and they run to get Richie James.
Dave likes Tim Patrick. I'm sure we probably both like Tim. I'll like Tim Patrick to a degree, yeah, at Las Vegas. That could be a high scoring game. KJ Hamler, right, had 10 targets.
If you love Drew Lock, then I think Tim Patrick has to at least be in mind. Not a top three guy, but in mind.
Darnell Mooney.
Don't forget KJ Hamler either.
Yeah,
yep. Hamler's on the list.
All had a ton of targets last week. Darnell Mooney, Minnesota allows the second most fantasy points to wide receivers. If we can just get 7 targets for Darnell Mooney, which he's around that most games. 7 of 8 wide receivers who have had 7 or more targets against the Vikings have had 77 yards or more, or a touchdown. So that's
a
weird stat.
Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller have more targets than Allen Robinson in the last 3 games.
Interesting.
Both have 24. Sad. And Miller, Robinson has 20. Now, okay. Part of that is he left the Saints game.
I don't remember.
The Saints game with the concussion situation. So those guys in Garden.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty late
games there.
Jalen Reagor, Alshon Jeffrey, who are you picking up?
If there was no Travis Fulgham, I'd say Jeffrey. But because Fulgham has established himself as the guy there, I'd rather have Reagor, and just knowing Jeffrey's injury history. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, because Rager's kind of locked into the DeSean Jackson role. At least that's the expectation. And Jeffrey and Fulgham, I don't know if they can coexist to the level that both guys need to coexist, because Fulgham should be the lead receiver in the first read for Carson Wentz, but Wentz loves Alshon Jeffrey.
Danny Amendola has gotten 7 or more targets in 3 of 4 games without Kenny Golladay, so you could keep an eye on him. He's 10% rostered. Rashard Higgins or Nelson Agholor, who would you go with?
Agholor.
I would take Higgins, because I don't want to judge him based on the win game against the Raiders. And the targets were, you know, certainly up for him in the first game without Beckham. The games that Agholor doesn't score, it's going to be miserable.
The Agholor, though, is facing a team, this if you want to be hopeful, in the last 2 weeks, Denver gave up a 36-yard catch to Mike Williams, who had 99 yards and a touchdown, a 51-yard touchdown catch to Olamide Zaccheaus. Maybe Agholor can take a bit. Olamide? Okay.
He could score. there's definitely touchdown potential. You know, it's a non-PPR PPR thing. I think Higgins better not in PPR, Agholor better in non-PPR.
Sure, I would use the term safer, not necessarily better.
And 4 more players that Jamie provided. Chris Conley had 8 targets, 7 catches. David Moore could always score. How about that? Moore score. It's a bore. Michael Pittman, 7 targets. Jakeem Grant. And there you go.
Well, you have 2 injuries at play there. The Conley suggestion is because LaVisca Chenault left with a hamstring injury.
Okay.
And Preston Williams left with a foot injury. So Jakeem Grant could be somebody in deeper leagues that you need.
Tight ends. You got Dallas Goedert. You got Austin Hooper. Jimmy Graham. Jordan Reed. I still have like a soft spot for Jordan Reed. Saints are, 24th against tight ends. They're not very good.
25th. And Gronk dropped a touchdown, at least one.
Right. And Trey Burton at Tennessee, Irv Smith at Chicago, 6 touchdowns allowed to tight ends this year by Chicago, including 3 straight games. Gerald Everett, Jared Cook, Jonnu Smith all caught touchdowns. We got to check on
Burton. Just keep an eye, because Jack Doyle's probably not going to play. He's in the concussion protocol, so probably not going to get cleared by Thursday. And Molly Cox showed up on the injury report again with a knee injury. The Titans have allowed 3 tight ends to score at least 11 PPR points in their past 4 games.
Are we done with Logan Thomas?
I don't know if you're done with him, you know, but the fact that he had an uptick in targets and a downturn in production is not the type of thing you want to look at.
Check down target.
DSTs, Saints, Eagles, Lions, Dolphins, Vikings, kickers, Jason Sanders, Mason Crosby, Rodrigo Blankenship. Goodbye, everybody. We'll talk to you tonight at 8 o'clock on Twitch. And, of course, HQ, noon Eastern. Surprise today.
Big day.
Something debuting. Check it out. And if you don't see it live, you can get it on demand. Just scroll down on the CBS Sports app on your OTT device and check out Fantasy Football Today. For Dave and Jamie and Ben, I'm Adam. Talk to you tomorrow and tonight on Twitch.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.